is back on the road with the tough Indians and Red Sox division. The Tribe restless in fourth place. And Denny McLain opened a three-game series at Cleveland with his 24th victory. After a loss to Sonny Seaver, the Tigers made it two out of three as Mickey Lolich relieved Joe Sparma for a 3-0 shutout victory.
Two down, a man on second, and the Tiger outfielder Al Kaline stepping in. Game is scoreless. It's the third inning. Big series for the Tigers, perhaps even bigger for the Red Sox. Here's the set on the mound by Lundberg. He delivers. Here's a long belt to that. It will be a home run for Kaline. And the Tigers lead 2-0. Al hits one in the screen. Number seven for Kaline. He hit an inside pitch, and he pulled it with power into the screen in left field. A two-run homer by Kaline, and the Tigers jump in front 2-0 in the third.
Denny McLain went on to pitch his 25th victory and sixth shutout of the year. The next day's game was a thriller.
Now the 1-0 pitch. Long drive to left field. Could be trouble for Boston. It's gone. Home run. Bill Freehan is 19th home run of the year. Coming here on the top of the 11th inning, the Tigers take a 10-9 lead.
This is Bill Freehan we've got to talk to. Bill, when you hit that 11th inning home run to win the ball game up in Boston, you looked a little weary coming around the base. It's been a hard day, eh?
It's been a hard day, and the night before was pretty long, too. The humidity was real high that day, and I don't know, in the latter part of August, my energy is a little sapped on Saturday morning, but I tell you what, when that ball jumped off my bat, I couldn't have been any happier, and when we finally finished that game, I was really a tired man.
You knew it was gone then as soon as you hit it.
Well, in Boston, you can tell pretty well. If you get the ball up, I knew I hit the ball well, and I thought I hit it high enough to carry the wall, and I was lucky.
You like to hit in that park, Fenway?
Personally, I always have done pretty well there. I don't know if I'd like to call signals there all my life. It gets a little tough, and I think a 5-run lead is never real secure in that park.
A couple of days later, a new Tiger pitching hero emerged.
One pitch away from a one-hit shutout against Chicago. Killer has his sign. He goes to work. The pitch. It's a strike. It's all over. The Tigers win it. Chucked him out to end the ball game. Nothing across for the White Sox. And the final score in game number one, Tigers 7, Chicago nothing.
And the day after that, the Tigers, whose last inning heroics rivaled the perils of Pauline all year long, came up with more of the same against the White Sox.
Waiting on a 1-0 delivery, right-hand hitting outfielder Mickey Stanley. Swing, there's a fly ball deep to left, going back, Terry. Maybe it is out of here, a home run.
Tigers 2, White Sox 2, bottom of the 10th inning. The next pitch to Price is hit to deep left field. Might be, could be, it's gone! Jim Price clears the fence downstairs in left center field. His second home run of the year, the Tigers win the ball game 3-2.
Jim, that home run you hit off Wilbur Wood, what type of pitch was it?
It was a knuckleballer, and that's mostly what he throws.
Did it hang a little high? Was it low, or could you tell?
It moved in on me, and I'm mostly a pull hitter, and I was fortunate enough the ball came in on me.
Did you have an idea when you went up there that you were going to swing for the fence?
Not really. I guess a knuckleball pitcher, I usually try to go back through the middle. Wally Moses said that's the best way to hit him, and that's what I try to do.
What other thoughts do you have when you come off the bench as a pinch batter?
Well, this year I've had the good fortune to come up with a couple timely base hits, and it's an amazing thing. Before I go up to hit, I'm not really nervous, but after I hit, I'm shaking like a leaf. It's funny.
How about when you're rounding the bases and that big mob's waiting for you at the plate?
I tell you, when that happened that night, I couldn't believe it. I thought I was dreaming. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a dream, and it was just hard to comprehend. And I finally got to home plate, and some of the guys were there, you know, and all the guys running out of the field. I said, you know, this is true.
You didn't get hurt in that mob, did you?
I got spiked a couple times, but I'll get spiked any time for that.
But that didn't end the fireworks in the White Sox series. There were plenty more in the final game.
1-0, Tigers lead. They got that run in the opening inning. Man who scored is up there now waiting on a 3-2 pitch from John. Watch out. That one just about hit him. I think Mac's a little perturbed. He's yelling out to Tommy John. Now he goes at him, and John tackles McCullough. Here comes Pete Ward in, Mickey Stanley. Salerno's there in the middle, and both dugouts empty, and the teams are going at it. Gates Brown is out there, and now the umpires are trying to separate the combatants here, and I think the situation has been still. John, I believe, has hurt his arm.
The fight with Tommy John cost Dick McCullough a $250 fine and a 5-day suspension. McAuliffe's loss was the first of a series of minor disasters for the Tigers. For with McAuliffe on the bench, they went to New York and dropped 4 straight games, their longest losing streak of the season. Everything went wrong in the sweltering August heat of Yankee Stadium. Earl Wilson was knocked cold by a line drive as the Yankees won the first game of a twi-night doubleheader 2-1. Then the Tigers were forced to a 19-inning 3-3 standoff in the second game. It had to be called because of the curfew. The Yankees were on their way with a long winning streak, the hottest team in the league. But there was even more trouble to come, plenty of it. Denny McLain, who hadn't suffered 2 straight defeats all year, finally lost his 2nd in a row on Saturday. And on Sunday, the Tigers dropped both ends of a doubleheader, each one by 1 run. They got out of New York wishing they had never seen the place, then considered themselves lucky to split a 2-game series with the White Sox. That was the last day of Dick McAuliffe's suspension. He returned to the lineup when the Tigers got back into the friendly environment of Tiger Stadium.
Dick, it must have been very frustrating sitting out that suspension.
Well, it was quite frustrating, Ernie, especially when you're in a pennant race like we were. We were about 7.5 games ahead at the time, and to be set down six games, and see my teammates trying to battle out there these one-run ball games, and it was quite depressing for me, and I felt greatly a part in not winning a few of those games because of the fact that I was sitting on the bench, and I was really helpless, and I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what would you do if they did it again, threw at me again, and I told them, I said, well, I'd really have to try and count to 100 as fast as I could and then think twice.
Perhaps it was the welcome home. Perhaps it was the return of McAuliffe. Or perhaps it was Denny McLain's determination not to extend his losing streak beyond 2. Whatever the reason, the Tigers finally began winning again. Their first of 2 victories over the Angels was McLain's 26th, which had been 12 days coming. Their second was a Mickey Lolich 2-hitter settled by a Willie Horton home run. The pennant drive was really underway. Manager Mayo Smith somehow had the pitching staff at its peak, and up to the pennant clinching game, there were 11 straight games without a relief appearance by the bullpen. The Tigers won 17 out of 22 after the New York derailment, and 8 in a row to clinch. You could feel the confidence of this team, and pennant fever gripped the city. The department stores were selling everything from Tiger milk to Tiger t-shirts. The newspapers were running full-page pictures of the players every day. Every other car, it seemed, had a Go Get 'em Tigers bumper sticker. The magic number was posted all over town. People took transistor radios to the ballpark, theaters, movie houses, and restaurants. There was even a song written about
His pitch on the organ was perfect, and he never lost any chords. With eyes 20-20, what's nearsighted, Denny won all of the baseball awards.
The all-time Tiger Stadium attendance record was broken as they neared the 2 million mark. The players were seen, heard, and featured everywhere.
It was baseball, baseball, baseball.
The second, Bill Freehan here, back in the second most important name on my checks.
The second place Orioles were in town for a crucial three-game series, and they were determined to take on the Tigers with a victory. This was a series that finished the Orioles as a serious threat. Oh, they were technically still in the race after that, but not really. For while nearly 125,000 fans went mad in the 3 days between August 30th and September 1st, the Tigers took two out of three to show the baseball world they weren't about to fold in the clutch. Earl Wilson was the pitching and batting hero of the first game at Baltimore. Besides hurling a four-hitter for a 9-1 victory, well, let the story tell itself.
Swing, there's a long one. Deep left, it may be. It's gone. A three-run homer by Wilson. Earl Wilson hits one in the left field seats. A big, long, high fly ball, and the Tigers lead 3-0. And scoring in front of Earl were Bill Freehan and Tommy Matchick.
That was the 31st home run of Wilson's career, putting him within sight of Wes Farrell's all-time career record for pitching. The Orioles squared the series in the second game, but the third was the one that set them reeling. The man who pitched it? McClain, of course.
With Denny McClain, it almost became not whether he would win, but how he would win. He did it with his bat, three hits and a half. His team would come from behind, and with his inborn sense of drama, the maestro even did it with his glove. And this even had the Baltimore announcer cheering.
It may be a triple play. They did it. A triple play.
McClain, the Magic, to catch. The first triple play in the old ballpark since 1965. And later, Denny added to his immortality by having Mickey Mantle hit his 535th home run off of him. Denny and the whole team applauded the Mick, who thus surpassed Fox for the number three all-time position. In the second game of a doubleheader at Oakland, the day after that big Baltimore series in Detroit, Freehan came up in the clutch and...
Now, here's the pitch to Bill.
Long fly to left field. It might be, could be. It is gone. Home run. Freehan serves that left field fence. Put the Tigers out in front by a score of 4-3.
The next day, it was Northrop's turn.
Bogle ahead of the batter, Northrop, with a strike one count. The bases are loaded. He swings a bounding ball right field. Krasinski scores. McCauley rounding third. He's coming home. The throw to the plate, not in time. He scores. And on to third goes Stanley, on to second goes Northrop, and the Tigers take the lead again, 4-3 on a single by Jim Northrop with the bases loaded.
Back to Detroit to entertain the Twins, and...
Man on third, man on second, and nobody out. Cott sets and pitches, and Willie swings a long fly ball to left. Maybe it's gone. A home run for Willie. The Tigers have exploded four times in the opening inning. With nobody out, they've scored four runs. And they have a 4-0 lead over the Minnesota Twins. Boswell beginning to throw in the bullpen. That's the 32nd home run for Willie Horton. It gives him 76 runs batted in.
Now to Anaheim for this series of explosions.
Here's the set now, the pitch. Swing, a bounding ball to left. That ought to get a run in. Here's Stanley rounding third, heading home. Reichardt will throw to second, and the Tigers lead 1-0 on the single by Kaline. Scoring, Mickey Stanley from second base. 1-0 Detroit. Here's Willie Horton stepping in. Bennett delivers. Here's a fly ball to left. It's deep. Reichardt going back. Might be. It is out of here. 3-0 Tigers. The 33rd home run by Willie Horton. So the Tigers out in front early, 3-0 in the opening inning. Tigers 3, California nothing in the third. Now the windup by Bennett, and the pitch is swung on. There's a drive to left, deep. Reichardt going back. It is out of here, just over the fence and into the bullpen. Mickey Stanley hits home run number 11, and the Tigers now lead 4-0. Bennett comes back. There's a long belt by K-Line. This one is gone. Out of here. 5-0 Tigers. K-Line hits home run number 9. Al rounding third and headed for home, and Willie Horton is right there to greet him.
Now it's McLean again, with his bat helping his arm.
So McLean batting against Messersmith, that he swings, and it's a fly ball to center. Johnstone is turned. He's going back. It's a deep one. He's still going, and it is off the wall. Diddy going for two. He's rounding second. He's heading for third, and here comes a throw. He slides. He has a three-bagger.
Last game of the season in Anaheim was an easy one for the pennant-bound Tigers.
He was tied with Northup. There's another drive deep to left. This might be gone. It is in the bullpen. A home run by Freehand. And the Tiger power asserting itself again here tonight. 7-0, the Tigers lead them. Number 22 for Mr. Freehand.
Here's Tom Satriano. Tom tonight, 0-2. Hits a line drive to center field. Stanley coming on, tries for the shoestring catch and makes the catch. Bubba Morton, who had gone all the way to home, scampers back to third base. A great play by Stanley.
Hiller kicks and deals. Fly ball, short right. Here comes Northup digging hard. He dives and he makes a great catch. Well, Stanley made one earlier, and now Northup makes a great diving, tumbling catch in right field.
And home to Detroit to entertain the Athletics royally.
Splendor left-handed batter, and this is a big moment in the ball game right now. The Tigers lead by 1-0. Turn, a throw by Wilson to second. He's picked off. Picked off at second base is Reggie Jackson. Krasinski ducks behind him. Took the throw from Wilson, and Jackson is picked off. And what a job Wilson does in the clutch, blanking the Oakland A's in the seventh inning. No run on two hits, and there were no errors. Swing, there's a long one. It is way back, and it is gone. A home run upstairs. Earl Wilson belts number 7 for him in home runs this year. The Tigers lead 3-0. That one disappeared in the upper deck.
And now with the whole country watching, the Athletics providing the opposition and a full house at Tiger Stadium to lend encouragement. Denny McLean's big bid for immortality. Everyone was there. Julie Nixon and David Eisenhower, Sandy Koufax, and the last 30-game winner, Dizzy Dean.
The Oakland A's lead the Tigers 4-3 in the ninth inning. McGee walking off the mound and rubbing up that ball tossed out by umpire Halleck. And the tension is thick around here now before this big Tiger crowd. Here's the set by Diego McGee. The pitch, Northup swings a bounding ball. It's flown to Decatur. He throws to the plate. The throw's wild. K-Line scores. Stanley rounding second. He throws, goes to third. Safe at first is Northup, and the game is tied 4-4. Man on first and a man on third. One man down. 2-2 the count on Willie Horton. Here's the set by Segui. The pitch. Swung on. A drive to left. That'll be the ball game. It's over the head of Gosga. McLean wins his 30th. Here comes Stanley in to score. Willie Horton, single, and the ball game is over, and the Tigers win it 5-4. Denny McLean is one of the first out of the dugout, racing out, and Horton is mobbed as the Tigers come from behind, and McLean has his 30th victory of the 1968 season.
Okay, Denny, our Tiger broadcast still on the air. Congratulations. Your team has come through for you all year long, and they came through for you again in the ninth inning.
They've been doing it all year, Ray, and you don't expect them to keep doing it like this all year. I thought I was in a little bit of trouble, but they pulled me out again. They've been doing it all year.
Denny, about your performance today, you started off very strong, and then Jackson gave you a lot of trouble. Did you feel about the same way as you did your last couple of performances?
Yes, I did. Jackson, the first home run he hit was a pretty good pitch. But the second pitch he hit was a high changeup and was a real bad pitch. Real bad.
Denny, you have a chance, of course, to talk to Dizzy Dean right after the ball game. What did Dizzy have to tell you?
Dizzy just congratulated me and wished me a lot of luck.
All right, now you're going to 30. You want number 31 right now, of course. When do you think you'll go again?
Probably Wednesday night, right?
Denny, how's the arm feel right now?
Arm feels wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay, thank you very much, Denny McLean. Congratulations again to you.
2 days later came the climax. The climax it truly made. 1968, the year of the Tiger.
Well, this big crowd here ready to break loose. Three men on, two men out. Game tied 1-1 in the ninth inning. McDaniel checking his time with Jake Gibbs. The tall right-hander ready to go to work again. And the windup and the pitch. He swings a line shot. Base hit. Right field. The Tigers win it. Here comes K-Line to score. And it's all over. Don Wirtz singles. The Tigers mob Don. K-Line has scored. The fans are streaming on the field. And the Tigers have won their first pennant since 1945. Let's listen to the bedlam here at Tiger Stadium. The Tigers are being mobbed as they go to their dugout. They'll hardly make it. Confetti in the air. Fireworks in the air. Now, Ray Lane is in the Tiger clubhouse, and I imagine quite a few things are popping down there. Ray?
Right, you are, Arnie. We're in the Tiger clubhouse, and as usual, for the pennant winners, it's the big night right now. Joe Sparmer, congratulations.
Thanks,
great
Ray.
Job.
Thank you very much. It's great to be a part of it, I'll tell you.
Joe, you had to feel a little down the last couple of months.
Yeah, I did. I think I won this game for the people who had faith in me, and I guess my wife, who won for her, I probably wouldn't have got through the year, I'll tell you.
Manager Mayo Smith over here right now. The man has been dunked by about five bottles of champagne. He is sopping wet.
It ended up the way we wanted it to. We won it, even though we knew that Baltimore had lost. So this is a very happy day, and of course, these guys have played great all year. I'm happy first for them. Of course, John Fester, the Tiger organization. Last but not least, the fans. They waited a long time for this.
And see if we can't get over here to reach the Tiger president, Mr. John Fester. Right now, we get up here. And one else with a bottle of champagne. Mr. Fester, congratulations, sir.
Now,
well, I'm not very good at giving play-by-play descriptions, Ray. But that was the finest toss of water I've ever seen tossed on Jim Campbell's ball head. And this is the greatest testimony I know to the greatest ball club in the world today.
Mr. Fetzer, I want to say one thing. You have tried for the past 2 years to build yourself a pennant contender. You got it tonight.
This is the climax of a long, long, cold winter night. But I tell you right now, it's warm indeed.
Can you get Mr. Campbell for us over there? Mickey Lawless trying to get Jim, who is... Jim, congratulations.
Hi, Ray. Well, hell, we're real happy.
I'll tell you, real happy is not the word for it, is it?
You think we've been so close for a few days, but when it comes, that you think, well, you won't get excited, but by golly, it's just wonderful.
Jim, you've had a hero in about every ball game this year.
There's really no one hero in this club. They're a great bunch of kids, and I think they're just great.
This has to certainly pay off for all the hours and days and months of hard work trying to build up.
Yeah, and years.
Okay, you look great with that soap on you, Jim.
That was great.
Jim Campbell, general manager and vice president of the Detroit Tigers.
Hey, Mickey.
Mickey Lolich, say we can't get the old left-hander over here, Mickey. Hey, buddy, it must be a pretty good feeling.
Oh, I tell you, Ray, it's great. I don't know what to say. I mean... We had a feeling, you know, we were going to win it since spring training, and here we are, and we're the happiest people in the world right now.
You know, you're talking about that feeling. I think it was very prevalent in spring training. It was sort of a silent thought, but all you guys had seemed like dedication. You knew you could do it.
Well, everybody said in spring training, I mean, how'd we feel after last year when we come so close and miss? And we said, well, we knew what it was like there. We were all more experienced. And I think today we have proved that we did gain more experience last year. And I think there's a great future for the Detroit Tigers in the next few years in Detroit.
Mickey, you've had that in-and-out season, at least the first 3 months of the season. You seem to be on the right track again.
Well, you know Mickey Lolich, he always seems to come along when he has to, so I'm real glad I could do it.
Mickey, you've done a wonderful job, and good luck the remaining of the season, and good luck in the series.
Thank you very much, Ray. Thank you.
And out on the streets of Detroit was the spirit of 1968, the year of the Tigers, the spirit of joy and peace and harmony, brought about by a baseball team that won the city's first pennant in 23 years.